Hey, welcome back. Welcome back. Escape from Planet listeners. I'm your host, Chris, here with Tina and Adam. Hey, guys.
What's up?
What's up?
And this, I think people are really going to want to listen to this episode because it's been, the Winter Olympics has been kind of on all our news lately. And this Eileen Gu thing has been, especially for Asian Americans, been all across our screen. So we're going to talk about that. I find it really weird. I don't know about you guys. I really don't care about the Winter Olympics anyway. And especially with COVID, I didn't care about the Tokyo Olympics.
Yeah.
I really don't care about this Olympics. But, you know, there are like these political stories that seem to... The only reason why it's relevant right now is because of things like Eileen Gu. Otherwise, I wouldn't even know what's going on.
I'm kind of invested in watching Nathan Chen win.
I am too, honestly.
He killed it. His, I guess he did like the...
He did the short event. Program for the team event.
Yeah.
And for the men.
He fucking nailed it. It was crazy.
He, I think like I was really invested in 2018 and he won the bronze. And it was a little disappointing.
Wait, you mean in him or the Winter Games in general?
No, in him.
Okay.
Just in him. And because he was like the reigning world champion, but he got the bronze and then he won the world championship right after that, which I thought was kind of impressive, right? Like you did poorly and then you sort of come back. And then he's the defending world champion again this year going in. So we'll see.
Before we go any further, I do want to remind listeners, if you want to listen to our weekly bonus episodes and get double the Escape from Plan A content, go to patreon.com/planamag. Just for $5 a month, you get that. And you get access to our Discord where we all hang out with a whole bunch of other great people, all the other subscribers. So join the community. That's www.patreon.com/planamag. Also, I wouldn't do this, but I think when this episode gets released, it will be my birthday. So happy birthday to me.
Nice.
If you all want to wish me happy birthday, go to my Twitter or whatever. I don't know what people do these days. Remember when wishing people happy birthday on Facebook was a big thing? That was like, over 10 years ago. Now people don't do that. So whatever. But just wanted to say that. All right. So moving on. Just some things to get out of the way before we talk about Eileen Gu and the Winter Olympics, I thought were just funny things that happened. You all saw that Chen Weihua tweet. Is that Tina, am I saying that name right? Chen Weihua?
Yeah.
Okay. His tweet, it was in response to a politician named Representative Elise Stefanik. I don't even know who this is. But
she's like in New York, I think. Like New York State.
Really?
Is she?
She's like a state rep, I think.
Oh, okay. State rep. Okay.
Wow, he's even going after state reps. He is really the Terminator. He will not leave you alone. He will follow you to the ends of the earth. But anyway, she tweets, America first, China last, which is like, okay. It's like, I don't know what that's in relevance to. But then he tweeted, first in what? COVID infections and deaths, gun violence, prison population, number of homeless people, bombs dropped in foreign countries, national debt of $30 trillion, number of idiot politicians.
I mean, just fatality.
The last time I checked, he got like something like 45,000 likes on his tweet while she's a local representative. No one really cares what she says, which it made it all the more funny. And seriously, is there anyone better on Twitter right now than Chen Weihua? Also, do you think this is a real guy? Is he like the Onion? Is he more like a conglomerate of very sharp-witted people who function as one entity, but nobody like I don't know.
I have no idea.
Are there any conspiracy theories? Like, is this an actual guy in Beijing or wherever the government is scanning Twitter?
I assumed so, but now that you ask, I've never verified that he is. So
he's a real person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have another question. When did ratio start to mean replies that are more popular than the original post? Because I always took it to mean any tweet that has more replies than likes. Because that almost always means people are dunking on the tweet. Nobody replies like encouraging words, but then doesn't like it. That was my understanding of the ratio. I think that's the original definition.
I think that is the technical definition, though.
Mm-hmm.
If someone replies to you in an antagonistic way and gets a ton more likes than you, that looks pretty bad too.
Oh yeah, that's very humiliating as well. But they can't both be the ratio. We need to come up with a new term. This I will not stand for this confusion.
Ratio inflation. I don't know what the new term would be.
Yeah.
Except that we witnessed a murder, a Twitter murder.
I tweeted this earlier this week, but we really need Trump and Chen to go at it on Twitter. That it would be you know, I would pay real money to see that. That would be great entertainment.
I want to believe it's just one guy because it makes it more impressive.
It sounds like he's a real guy. He has a Wikipedia entry.
And if it was like a bunch of people sort of running this site, that Twitter handle, it wouldn't be as impressive to me. But the fact that like he's so quick, he's on all of this stuff, and he's
very ornery. Like it's hilarious because you look at his face, and he's got sort of he looks a little bit uptight, and he looks a little bit, you know, like reserved. And then he comes out, and he's just like lifetime bitch.
No, I think that is part of why he's so funny. I mean, first of all, it's like, it's not just what he says is funny. If like I said this, it wouldn't be as funny because it's like I'm like nobody. I'm not. But this is like a top guy in what does he work for? Some newspaper,
China,
right?
Daily.
China Daily.
He's like the bureau chief of China Daily in, I think, Europe. So he lives in Europe.
The humor comes from a guy who is supposed to have this really dignified,
stately
position, being so petty and like sassy on Twitter that it is the context of the whole thing.
That's true.
And yeah, picture.
He knows how to play full contact Twitter like everyone else, you know.
Right.
So good for him.
Yeah.
He retweeted me once. That was like the highlight of my
life. Oh, wow.
Oh, nice.
That was like one of the top 10 moments of my Twitter life.
Very cool.
Like top three.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a funny little thing. I also just wanted to make this comment about how I've just been reading these like tweets of, you know, various, I think they're Asian American, or actually they're not, sometimes they're non-Asian, but you know, the way they write about the Beijing Olympics, forget about the political stuff, just the style is just so nauseating. They'll talk about, remember that thing about complaining about like some noodle restaurant that has shut down from 2008? I mean, first of all, what a lot of restaurants don't stay in business for, you know, over 10 years. So that's really not a big deal. But seriously, they remind me of just like bad Asian American MFA novels, like litfic types, where everything's about going back to the motherland. You know, this statue reminds you of your dead grandma, and then you go to some noodle stand and you have some like Proust moment or some shit like that. They all write like it, and it's just really, really annoying.
There's something weird about like white liberals, or I guess, and their Asian lackeys. Like the second they show up in China, they turn into like MAGA. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like when they're here in America, you know, they're going to be, they're all liberal. So they're just going to be dumping on everyone who's like anti-mask and don't tread on me. And the government is, you know, plotting against us and all this stuff. And they're like, these people are crazy. Y'all are crazy. Like, you know, we're literally trying to get COVID under control. We're trying to save lives. We're trying to, you know, get the vaccine out. We're following science. And the second they step off that plane in China, they're like, this fondue looks fucking dystopian. Look at this, like, bartender in PPE. Oh, my God. Like, I don't feel free. I don't feel safe.
Look at all. Yeah. They're also all gung-ho, like, technology and, like, everything that, like, any tech company does, they love it. And then as soon as they step into China, they're like, these robots are dystopian. And I can't believe they're so, you know, robots are serving me drinks and like cleaning the floors.
Yeah. It's That's why like, I don't respect what? It. Honestly, like I would respect it more if they were that way here too.
Sure. It'd be consistent at least.
And if there were MAGA chuds here and in China, I'd be like, okay, well, that's just who they are. Well, but they completely flip on a dime. And I know it's because there's a market for this anti-China shit.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just gross. It's like, they're just like, you know, like, how far will a government go? You know, I'm like, you're at the Olympics for your job. Just stop complaining for a second. You know what I mean?
And also, if you're going to be anti-China, I would respect you more if you were like a Tucker Carlson or Will Cain type, where you're just out and out. But as I said, the way they write is that, you know, shitty litfic type of writing where they're like, I arrive at the airport and I can see the mists of the of the disinfectant floating past me, and in the corner of my eye I see the panda mascot dancing for whom nobody knows. It's so fucking so shit. Yeah.
Or like they tried to, like, with the fondue fountain, they tried to make it seem sinister that like the people working there were like encouraging them to like have fondue. Like what?
Monsters.
Like
fucking monsters.
Like the people working there as like service people were encouraging you to like use something that was there. Like, well, how, what are they trying to poison you?
It's communist.
Is this like
chocolate.
A poison fondue fountain? And like they were, I guess, like the government handlers had been like, you know, crossed with them that none of the Western journalists had fallen trapped to this. So now they had to like try to encourage them to eat it. It was so weird. I'm like, it's a fondue fountain. They're trying to eat you. How dare they try to get you to eat some chocolate?
Like, I see on our outline we want to talk about the opening ceremony. And one thing, I mean, just on this topic, like, I remember there's this journalist named Shifan Wang, and she's like, I think, Chinese diaspora in Germany.
Oh, the German brain woman?
Yeah, the German brain woman. And she tweeted about how they played Imagine and during the opening ceremony. And I remember watching that. I was like, you know, for all they say about how like ultra nationalist and, you know, xenophobic the Chinese are, like, here they are. This is their opening ceremony. They're playing like a British pop song.
Yeah.
Right. And with universal appeal. And if you notice, like the opening ceremony, really, it was very different than 2008. There were like very little, there was almost no Chinese specific symbolism. Like there were no Chinese characters. You didn't get like those drummers that came out, you know, like that in 2008, where it was like, we are China. We're on this, you know, this was a very universal sort of culturally unspecific, almost Disney-like production. And they played Imagine. And I was like, this is a really, you know, this is them being open to the outside world. And then her take on that was, this is so dystopian. Like, John Lennon, poor John Lennon. She literally said, poor John Lennon. She was like, to have this, like, you know, this autocratic communist government, like, culturally appropriate his song and repurpose it.
That song sucks anyway. Who cares?
You know, and first of all, the song sucks. But second of all, and then someone posted this, this guy, Obukowski, posted it in Twitter. And he posted a quote where John Lennon was like, oh, yeah, Imagine is actually like, people like it because it's a sugar-coated song, but it's basically communist.
I was going to say that if they wanted to have this sort of universalist message song about how, like ceremony where it's not just very nationalist, they actually used Imagine in like its right context.
Exactly.
Like it's the exact right context to use that song because the lyrics are all just, can't we all just get along? You know, imagine all the people, you know?
The whole spirit of it was just, because I think like a lot of these Asian diaspora reporters, like this is their time to show, this is their Olympics, you know, they want to make it all about them. And then I think the conceit is they always play as if they're like Chinese refugees. They don't really say that because most of them are not, none of them are really, but they all ended up in the West and then they kind of like retrofit. They retcon their own story to be like, I had to flee communism, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, they just immigrated, you know? Or like they just decided to go abroad. Or they were born overseas.
Or their parents just took them, right?
Yeah, but
their parents decided.
And, you know, a lot of them like retain their Chinese name conspicuously. And I think it's kind of playing into this idea that they're like, they're the real China experts. They know the real dark side of China. And they keep pushing this story of like how bad China is. And I don't think they really believe that. I don't think they really care. I think they just know that is a very lucrative niche where if you can write enough, you know, articles about, you know, the panda off in the distance and who does he serve? I don't know, whatever the fuck, the mists of disinfectant. If you can write enough of that crap, like your job will literally to be like living in a subsidized apartment in Beijing, going out every night with your friends, writing a shitty article here and there, going to the Olympics paid, and they still complain, you know?
Yeah, I think there's probably opportunists, but I also would bet there's a sincere bunch there. They are living their own Asian American novel. They are the main characters of the story. And that's why everything kind of tends to be about them when they write about the Olympics. And I mean, we even see it with the COVID coverage that Amy Chin writer, she was like, said there was like some government warning about, you know, please take care of yourself. And she was like, this is just what my parents used to tell me, you know, and it just gets into weird that kind of stuff. Before we go in, I do want to go back to that bartender thing because I think that got really dunked on by a lot of people because To set the scene, it was a bartender who was dressed in basically like a hazmat suit.
Yeah, full PPE.
Right. And it's like, okay, well, if you're the type in America to demand everybody wear like KN95 masks, it's like, well, isn't this your dreamland? Isn't this your Disneyland where they're like in a hazmat suit? But it's like, oh, no, that's too far. That's dystopian. It was just.
Yeah, it was so like it's making me feel weird.
What it was.
Yeah, you have ruined my Olympic experience because you look weird.
Right.
And I don't feel good.
That, you pierced my fantasy of I'm going to the Olympics to enjoy myself completely.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, and it's just sort of like what you still got your drink. You're still in China. You're still going to be able to go to all these events. Like the Olympics are still going on. Like what's your problem?
Well, not just that, but the bartender wearing the hazmat suit is doing that for you.
Yeah, no, really? So I mean, exactly. You're getting all this stuff. What are you complaining about?
Yeah, it's not like, it's like worst case scenario, it just looks weird. Yeah, it does look weird, but ultimately it's for your benefit, or at least the gesture, whatever.
Like
it's all messed
like
up.
She in that moment, you know, is being like Kyrie Irving, right? She's doing the Kyrie Irving at that point.
Right.
And they would, you know, they'll make fun of, they'll dunk on him or they'll dunk on Aaron Rodgers or whatever. But that's what they're doing. They're going over there and they're just like.
They're like, they turn to Joe Rogan when
they
go to China.
They turn into Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Fucking hypocrites.
Well, you know, but the actual main character of this whole Olympics is the main reason why we're, or the main subject of our pod today,
yes, great transition.
Is Eileen Gu.
Great transition. All right. So I'll give her backstory. You guys jump in if I get something wrong. I'll just quickly go over her thing. So she is Hapa. Her dad is a white American. Her mom is Chinese. And she was born in San Francisco. She's 18 years old. Her mom was, she was like some pretty high, she rose to a level like pretty high up on Wall Street, right? And then she like kind of went back to China, created some kind of, and then like did business there, taught her child to, you know, how to ski. Cause I think she herself, her mom really got into skiing. Long story short.
So her mom sounds like the shit. Sounds like.
Well,
she,
yeah.
She
and I think it's a really important part of the story that her dad is explicitly never mentioned. I'm guessing that, I don't know. I don't know if he was basically just like a sperm donor type, you know, barely above a sperm donor. I don't know. I think this is critical to why Americans get so insecure about her. But remind me not to forget about that. But yeah, so she is a rising star American. And then sometime in 2019, she goes to China, has this kind of secret meeting with Xi Jinping himself. And after that, she declares, I'm representing China. Before then, she was like a top member of the U.S. team, I think. And people, I think, expected her to represent the U.S. But then in 2019, she declares for China. And now we have the situation here where she will... I really don't know anybody else who's going to be like the face of this game. I don't really know. But she's clearly going to be it. And she is basically, at least the way Americans are treating her, a defector to the enemy. And she's also half Asian. She's also like very attractive, very... telegenic. So there's a lot of psychosexual stuff going on, which makes this a very juicy topic to talk about. So, all right, let's dive in.
I think a lot of the accusations around her are that she's being opportunistic and she's doing it for the money. And I think in a way that makes it worse for everyone. Like, because, I mean, I really don't have a problem with people at all. I mean, I think it is the case that she assessed her sort of like career prospects and said, look, like, me representing China might be like a really great way for me to go about this. You know, I don't think it's just about the Olympics. I think it's also about becoming like a famous, important person.
Yeah, yeah. And, longevity. Because Olympic stars are famous for like 3 days every 4 years, and then they fade out. But this is a way for her to have a lasting career. Probably going to venture out into whatever her interest is, maybe like fashion and acting, or you know, whatever these people do, is much more likely to happen in China, whereas in the US you just be one of many kind of like 4 years, like, you know, every 4 years there's a new star and then nobody cares after.
Her sponsorships are crazy. She's like a modeling for Victoria's Secret, Yves Saint Laurent, what was the other one?
I don't think she's modeling for Victoria's Secret. I mean, she's like she would have been like 16 at the time. I think maybe she has a sponsorship deal, but anyway.
No, yeah. She's a Victoria's Secret model.
Are you sure about that? Because I look at something, she's like model for like Vogue and all these things.
Yeah, and she modeled for Victoria's Secret. But
okay, maybe it was like a perfume or something. Because
no, I think she just signed with them.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
She's with Victoria's Secret.
Yeah.
So which Victoria's Secret, by the way, has taken a different turn. I don't think it's the same as it used to be.
No, now they're like a body positivity and shit.
Yeah,
it's hilarious.
Yeah, it's very different. But my point being, those are very like LV, right? YSL, Louis Vuitton, those are huge
brands.
And if she was, I mean, clearly she has the looks and stuff for this, but like honestly, like, okay, if she stayed in the US, like what's her ceiling here? Like really someone like Apollo Ono or
Chloe Kim
would kind of like represent probably somewhere around where she could hope to end up. And I don't think either, I mean, what, like maybe she'll do like a turn on Dancing with the Stars.
I was about to say,
that's right, Apollo Ono, right? Did he do that?
You know, and maybe like a Toyota commercial or something.
Right.
But like in China, she could be like the leaning of, I don't know if you know who that is, but he's sort of like a national hero. He was like one of the first people to win like a gold medal in gymnastics, I think. He was like a, you know, he's like a Michael Jordan type figure in China. I mean, she could be that for like winter sports. And I think like, something I saw Lillian Lee on Twitter tweet out like a really interesting thread about how China wanted these winter. No one else wants the Winter Olympics. I mean, it's like really not profitable, and it's, like you said, most people don't give a shit about it. Why do they want to do it? And her theory, which I thought was a good one, was that China actually wants, the government wants to kickstart winter sports as like a national trend. You know, they want to start investments in the north, in the mountains. They want to get people buying ski gear. They want people to, like, you know, learn how to ski and become good at it and just sort of make that part of the culture. And I mean, you think about that kind of investment, and Eileen Gu could be the sort of face of that. Her ceiling is like so much higher than it would be here in
America.
That's
what I was going to say. If you were just going to be in the United States, aside from what Chris, you were saying just about how I think there isn't much of a market for those types of athletes in America, but it's sort of a mature market, right? Like we've had stars in skiing and in winter sports. In China, they haven't really had that, right? So if you want to be the first, if you're going to be the first, that's huge. I mean, it just makes sense.
Yeah, and also like the market size. If you're like a mediocre star in China, you probably still make more money than if you're a top star in America, just based on numbers alone. And in America, what's her sport exactly? Is it freestyle skiing? Is it extreme?
Yeah, she's in three different, but basically it's like it's X Games style skiing, you know. Yeah, like
nobody cares about that in America. It's gonna be totally forgotten a week from now. Nobody's gonna care. And but it, you know, in China they just more opportunity, and that's probably another thing that rankles Americans is like, oh no, we're not the land of opportunity anymore, among other things.
Yeah, exactly.
But but let's get to the racial thing, because I think this is really key. The fact that she's not just Asian, but she's Hapa, and not only that, but also a Hapa woman, also like a very attractive Hapa woman. There's like so much shit going on here. Let's untie this, because there's a lot going on here. So I think there's a lot of things going on here that really just upend the traditional narrative. Like the thing is, I think, you know, a lot of people probably don't want to openly admit this, but there is, I think, among a lot of Americans, even like supposedly very progressive types, there is this kind of like idealization of Hapas as the union of the two so-called best races in the world, Asians and whites. And even more than just like Hapa sons, I think Hapa daughters, they're like considered this unicorn of everything good, like attractive, smart, whatever, superior, this like hybrid vigor type of creepiness, superior to both, you know, white and just white or just Asian, in a way that I think Hapa guys are not. And because they are like the crown jewel of this, you know, race mixing, there is the foregone conclusion is, of course, they belong to white men and white nations. And the fact that she is basically turning her back on the US in terms of you know, Olympics. You can only represent one country. If you if you have options between two and you choose one, you are definitely turning your back on the one you rejected. That, I think, has just, people are like, wait. This is not supposed to happen this way. It has not happened this way for so long. What the fuck is going on? You know, fuck that bitch. And we see this like histrionics on Twitter, especially from like white dudes.
I think that might be true because there was no such furor over Beverly Zhu. And that was basically the same thing.
Right. Okay, so why don't you explain a bit about who Beverly Zhu is? I don't think a lot of people know.
I don't know much about her. I think she's a figure skater who was like born in America. She's American born Chinese, full Chinese. From what I read, like there's not a lot of details, but it seems like her father moved the family back to China to like take a big job. He's like a big time AI researcher. So obviously he's like kind of, I think he's the real package as to what China was trying to get back there is this AI guy. But she's like a pretty, you know, I mean, relative to like normal people, she's like this pretty stellar athlete herself. And it sounds like she got sort of fast-tracked onto the Olympic team. And so she's renounced her U.S. citizenship.
She did, yeah.
Which I don't think Eileen Gu did, right?
Well, she hasn't been open about it, unless I think the Chinese government made a super special exception by right. Their own law. She must have given up her U.S., but maybe it was like they found it, whatever. But she's never explicitly said it.
Yeah, so she actually, Beverly Zhu Yi, I think is her name in her full Chinese name, but she's like, no one really talked about her. I mean, she did the exact same thing. She renounced her U.S. citizenship and she's skating for China. And I don't see anyone up in arms about her. You know, I mean, it might be the fact that she's not really that competitive of a skater. And, you know, her star just doesn't shine as bright.
No, not
as Eileen. Now, is that racial in nature? I don't think it's necessarily the case that it's racial. But yeah, I see what you're saying. I mean, I think there is a sense that Eileen Gu is kind of a white woman. And the betrayal by, like, to see Beverly Zhu and she grew up, you know, she's like full Chinese. Her father wants to move back to China. I mean, it's almost like they were actually Chinese. She just happened to be born here. And then kind of went back to where she, quote, should be. So I don't think anybody really cared. But Eileen Gu is like, yeah, I think she's much more, you know, considered a Western woman, an American woman. And it was strange. It was a strange move. Totally not expected.
Yeah, I think people see her as like a bellwether for basically the next century. Here's this woman, as I said, according to that kind of like creepy hybrid vigor theory, you know, best of both worlds, has the world is her oyster. She can choose anything, anybody she wants. So therefore, nothing is closed off to her. Whatever choice she makes is a sign of things to come. And the fact that she chose China in, you know, as her representative country, and not just for the Olympics, it's kind of like she staked it out there for a lot of her, you know, business interests. Presumably she's going to spend more time there. I'm not sure about that. But you know, if you're that invested and involved, you're going to do that. So I think it's just sent shockwaves.
She'll be the most famous person in her Stanford entering class. And it's clear that this was definitely like the right move for her. Mm-hmm. Because did you see there was like a metric for like search terms for her? She's like,
oh, yeah.
Oh, she
totally got Streisand, the Streisand effect. Like, yeah, the more they trash her. And I don't know, like some of the ways they trash her is just so
creepy.
Ultimately she's an 18-year-old girl. And you just see even like Daily Show, you know, was just like trashing her, you know? And I'm like, that's all it takes. Like, all it takes is for her to say, okay, I'm going to rep China. And then you're just like, okay, 18-year-old girl, we're going to trash her.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I saw that segment on Tucker Carlson where that guy, Will Cain, he says, like, she betrayed America.
You know, I've noticed this is like when a non-white person, or like especially an Asian person, or really any non-white, especially immigrant, like succeeds in America, they always say that. They're like, this country allowed you to succeed. I think he said something like, America not only raised her, the country, but it like turned her into a world-class skier. And if it's like a white person who does it, then it's all about determination and
grit. Your individual effort, you know, and talent.
Hard work and all this stuff. Yeah, no. Yeah. But no, she is who she is. And this kind of goes to what Chris is saying is like, no, you know, she's great because of America. Like America put its DNA in hers. You know, it is really gross. It's creepy.
It is really gross.
But they're like, the thing that makes her great is that she's not just some like, you know, full Asian nobody. She's like, she's a Chinese person, yes, but she's got like the American DNA in her. And then she had all the benefits of being here and we made her, we raised her. The fuck are you talking about?
It's
crazy.
And, yeah. And I don't know if this is, if you guys have thought about this, just this thought entered my head too, is when I was listening to Chris talk about how sort of like people think she had the, you know, the white and the Asian, and that's sort of seen as maybe the optimal mix in that race science-y way. But even within that, she had, I think, what people feel is like, at least for like the creepy American white dudes like Tucker Carlson and Will Kane, the best sort of pairing, the white dad and the Asian mom, right?
Remember I said earlier, but her white dad is basically a total non-entity. There is, because imagine, I think their ideal situation, like this is the way the narrative is supposed to go. Her mom comes to America, is basically saved from, you know, gross little small-dicked tyrannical Asian dudes by the good, strong white American man, has the beautiful Hapa daughter. And of course, the Hapa daughter continues on this basic pattern and then self-replicates it to the point where, you know, the union of East and West is defined by, you know, the white man, Asian woman pairing. But here, he's not in the picture at all. Like, the way it's supposed to go is, I bet Eileen Gu becomes a strong patriot, and you see her dad and her mom in this like great, loving, 21st century type of relationship, in contrast to the loveless, forced, basically just, you know, arranged against their will type of, I don't know, like sex slavery in China and you know, in 2022 in their own backyard, Eileen Gu advances the cultural superiority of the US. That's the way the narrative is supposed to go. And the way it actually is playing out is so against that. And that's why people are freaking out.
Yeah.
There is a skier. I put this in the Discord.
Yeah.
Kai Owens, who's full Chinese and she's a mogul skier for Team USA. But she was born in China and was adopted by, I guess, a white family in America. Yep. But that, I don't know. There's not a, there wasn't much. I don't know if maybe, you know, again, I think a lot of this has to do with the individual's star potential. And Eileen Gu is like a freak. She's a freak when it comes to her potential, because it's like, she's got it all. She's got like a perfect SAT almost.
Oh yeah. I saw it on Wikipedia. I was like, why did they put that in there? That was so unnecessary.
Well, because it's just another, you know, it's like, it's just another thing where she's like, she's just got it all. She's like a stellar student. She's not just like an Olympic athlete, but she's like leader.
She's the favorite.
She's the favorite. Yeah. She's like, you know, top tier model,
totally
looks.
Fluent in Mandarin.
Yeah, and she's crazy fluent in Chinese. She sounds like a local. She sounds like she is, you know, like a local Chinese person. She even has like the Beijing accent and everything.
Didn't she talk about how like her grandmother? She has like a close relationship with her grandmother.
No, her grandmother is like her grandmother, and then I think her grandfather was also a big influence in her life. So as I said, even though she is Hapa, there's basically no white parent in the picture.
Right. Yeah, and yeah, I mean, from that, I think you guys have alluded to that's, or I think Chris, you said this that like her making this decision is a potential bellwether or indicator of the future, and I think in that context, the sort of the freak out by American media makes a little bit more sense. Obviously, some people take it to the really creepy lengths, but it makes sense because it just is another indication that America is losing its place, because this would have never happened even 20 years ago, even like 10 years ago. We were the destination where people were defecting to us. And literally, we built certain like sports through defectors.
I think that is also fucking up a lot of Asian Americans, because Island Go is basically a almost like a cartoonish, there's like a saying in Korean, it's called like omchina. It means like your mom's friend's son. It's basically the son that you always get compared to, and he's always better than you at everything.
Right.
I think Goo is like, maybe you could even say the racial thing. That's really fucked up, but let's leave that out. But, you know, in terms of just her fluency, her grades, her just like excelling at basically whatever she does, she is like, if she were your mom's friend's daughter, you would fucking despise her. And I think a lot of Asian Americans are kind of reacting in the same way, especially those who really did invest a lot in the kind of older pre-Trumpian like end of history America, you know, the one where America literally and just figuratively was the convergence point for everything. This is the destination. This is what history was leading up to. There were, I think, a lot of Asian Americans who bought into that, are heavily invested in that idea. Even if they claim to be critical of America or whatever, they're really not. They'll say shit like, well, but at least in America, we can question these things, unlike in other places of the world, you know, that kind of stuff. And I think for them, Eileen Gu is just as rattling for them as it is for a Will Cain or Tucker Carlson.
Yeah, I mean, I think ultimately when people talk about, you know, it like it's cope, right? When you're like saying like, oh yes, but you're not free when you're in China. That's cope. And I think a lot of like going back to like these diaspora Asian writers or journalists, you know, a lot of them are super salty because they got kicked out of China. A lot of them had their visas revoked during that spat under Trump. And they're not, you know, this is like the first time they've been allowed back. And I think a lot of it is sort of, you know, I think kind of confronting the fact that Asian Americans, like, look, like you're hitched to the, you might in a way be hitched to the wrong ship.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and then especially when you're so like pro Asian identity stuff, like when it comes to being an American, and you trade off that to an extent, your identity's built on, you know, like explaining China to like white people, which is a lot of, you know, a lot of what they do. And the reality is like, you're alienated from China. You don't know anything about China. You barely speak Chinese. Like, what do you know? You know? So, yeah, I think it's, you look at someone like Eileen Gu, and I think she just busts all these notions where she's like, look, and they keep saying like, oh, she won't like comment on human rights in China. I'm like, yeah, why would she? Like, she's not a human rights activist. She's a fucking model and athlete. You know, she's there. She's like, let's face it. She's there. Mm-hmm. She's there for her own good. She's there to advance her own career. And China has embraced her, and she's going to make a shitload of money. And I think people are, they just fucking, they hate it. They just hate, that that was given to her and not to them.
Yeah, I was reading this Economist article just to get some background info on her. And one of the things they really emphasized was the fact that she made a decision in 2019. And they were saying, but China has become a much darker place since 2019. When I was reading that, I was like, wait a minute, America has become a much darker place.
It's so weird say, when they say this shit. Yeah. It's like they always say, it's like exactly, they're just writing about America, but then they just... Right. Projected onto China. It's so strange. It's not darker in China. The fuck are they talking about?
Dark.
I mean, China, I mean, for as little as we know in China, it seems like they've kind of just been what they are. But I mean, at least by what we know, America's definitely been on a huge decline since 2019.
Oh, since, yes.
And I thought, like, everything they said about China, you could say even more about the U.S.
Yeah. I mean, and then didn't Eileen also make some statements about sort of just the ongoing... anti-Asian violence, you know, in the
Yeah, she said that.
And I think that also will rankle them too, because like she's criticized in the U.S., but then, as you said, you know, she refuses to say anything about what's going on in China.
Yeah, it's a LeBron syndrome.
Because she was commenting on something that actually happened to her and her grandmother.
Right, exactly. Exactly. I'm just saying.
Yeah. She was also apparently, well, I mean, everyone did, but she was also like supporting the Black Lives Matter stuff in 2020. But yeah, people are going to get, you know, the LeBron derangement syndrome or John Cena derangement syndrome. It's going to affect her too. One thing I want to also say about like Asian Americans getting all scrambled by her. I saw some of them trying to act as if the Eileen Gu situation was a very personal identity crisis she was having, kind of like, you know, the stereotypical Asian American asking, am I American or am I Chinese? It's like, that is nothing like what she did. No, she quite literally chose her team China in her skiing thing. And I think it's just a bunch of Asian Americans trying to make it about themselves again. And I think the conversation has moved past them. And yeah, it just felt like they were grasping at straws and trying to equate what she did with what they're doing. Like, you waffling on, you know, whether to bring dumplings to your workplace lunch is nothing like what she's done, which is take this huge step and, you know, pretty much put herself in the American firing line and just, and she's like, has not apologized for it at all. And it's more good than what those people have done. So
probably one of the grossest exchanges on Twitter was with Lita Hong Fincher and Frankie Huang.
Yeah, I don't even want to say their names, but Frankie. Yes, we have to. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck both of them. I mean, yeah. So Lita Hong Fincher fashions herself an expert on Chinese feminism. And here she is. She's saying like, oh, I wonder how Eileen Gu is going to feel when she's older and wiser and like, you know, the consequences of what she's done, you know, like when she catches up with her. I'm like, what do you think she's doing? Porn? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
She's fucking skiing in the Olympics skis. And she's like making like she's
going to have a penthouse in Shanghai.
She's going to do some advertisements for like Louis Vuitton. Like
she's going to promote winter sports to all of China. Like,
yeah.
What do you mean?
And be a beloved figure. Right,
she's like laying the foundation for like an amazing career. What do you mean, Lita? Like, who are you? Like, who's Fincher? Like,
and then
who is she?
And then Cranky Huang was like, yes, and just, her
did
mother's
you just call
role.
Her Cranky Huang, because that's hilarious.
Yeah, and she was like,
it is appropriate.
Yeah, and her reply to Hong Fincher was, yes, I worry about that, and how she'll feel about her mother's role in all this. Like,
oh yeah, the parent.
I think she loves her mom, and her mom is a badass, and she's raised a badass daughter. So I don't know what the hell you're fucking talking about.
Let's not talk about your own psychological issues.
Yeah,
you know
just
what I mean?
Because you cry every time I don't know, you think about your mom. Like I don't. It just it's insane. Like,
yeah, and by consequences by Hong Fincher, the only consequence is it renders her more relevant. That's the only real consequence out of this. It's not gonna have any real impact on, you know, world economic. That's like a boulder that's moving. It's like one 18-year-old girl, no matter how much of a star she is not going to impact that in real any significant way. There's so many like machinations going on behind the scenes that we can't even possibly comprehend. It's really about how her narrative cuts against someone like Hong Fincher's narrative that she's been working at for like all her life.
Look, I mean, sorry, but at the end of the day, like, you can profess all you want to be, oh, I'm a Chinese feminist or whatever, but you're just tearing down another woman.
That's right.
And you know she's doing it because she is Chinese and she feels ownership over that, both of them. They feel like that because Eileen has a Chinese mother, Frankie has some wisdom that she can hold over her as an older, less relevant Chinese woman.
Right.
To be like, oh, one day you will see things my way because, you know, you're cursed as a Chinese woman to be as cranky as I am, you know. Or Lita Hong Fincher going like, you will also regret every choice you made in life. You know? And I'm like, no.
Like,
stop
not
tearing
everyone-
her down. Yeah. That's not very feminist of you, is it?
Yes.
You're mad at this woman because she's making a name for herself. And she's unabashed. She's an unabashed opportunist. And I applaud her for that because why shouldn't she be? She should take everything. She should grab that bag while it's available for her. And I'm glad she did. And all these fucking haters can just like, I don't know, go sit and stew. Like nobody cares. Nobody wants to see either of them, you know, in a LV fashion shoot. I don't want to see either of them. You know what I mean?
No one's
going to buy a you know, $2,000 handbag because one of them is wearing it. No, they're not. All right. I don't want to see them barreling down the mountain. You know what I mean? Like, stop hating. Jesus.
And
Who are these people?
At the end of the day,
what standing do they have to talk shit about Eileen Gu? What have they done to earn that? You know, they're not just older. That's it.
But it's also not like Eileen Gu is in a field where you need to have any standing at all to do whatever. It's like you're just she's just a skier, all right? Like just let her ski. Like, what's the big deal?
Yeah. All right. So we've been saying all this good stuff about Eileen Gu. There is I found this post on Asian Identity. It's by this Asian woman. Her handle is Alaskan91. I thought it was a very very interesting post, and I thought she raised some good points. It's basically about, is Eileen Gu getting a big step up because she is half white in China? So it's kind of a long post. If it drags on, you feel free to cut me off at any time, but I'll try to read the whole thing. Is she a net benefit or net positive? I'd wager net is zero. Pro, yes, it's good that she makes racist, anti-China people mad. However, let's be real, white worship. The Chinese government is responsible for propping her up. They did this so much that Americans caught notice. It's not organic, a political tool to show Chinese people that. Hey, look, China is rising so much that even a white hapa mix chooses China over the USA. We, the Chinese government, are doing really well, which is fine, except that there are many other athletes that aren't propped up in media because they aren't a white hapa mix. Why this is a super sad case to me. This is sad from a female Asian American perspective. The Chinese government gets what it wants by utilizing existing white worship in China. White worship is a huge issue. That doesn't mean that China is racist towards non-white, non-Asian people, but rather that white hapas get extra benefits in China. As an Asian woman myself, I believe Asian worship of hapas, only white hapas, is partially responsible for Asian girls throwing themselves at mediocre white guys. High Asian female outmarriage. It's not just media. It's Asian culture treating hapas better than full Asians. So Asian women look at it and think, damn, if my kids are going to compete, they should be half white. I'm going to chase after a white boy. I literally have heard other girls say that. Because many women validate themselves through their kids, just like many men validate themselves through a hot girlfriend slash wife. Then she brings up Beverly Zhu. Here's this final point. I think it's dangerous what the Chinese government is doing. Hypocrisy. Y'all get upset when Asian passing Ross Butler takes the role of full Asian man, but are okay with white passing Eileen Gu getting propped up versus Beverly Zhu or other non-Asian, non-white mixes full Asians. Let's discuss this post a bit. Long story short, if you kind of lost track in all that, listeners, there's an Asian woman saying that Eileen Gu is being boosted too much simply because she's Hapa. She promotes white worship, which causes a lot of like self-hatred, especially among Asian women who chase white men. And I think she's calling out Asian men who get upset when Hapa men get boosted over full Asian men, but are fully supporting Eileen Gu when Eileen Gu is being boosted over full Asian women.
I think this is a legitimate viewpoint, though I think it's wrong in the sense that I think this is being projected onto China. I don't think that this is that big of an issue in China. The comparison with Beverly Zhu, like we already talked about this, but one, she's not a very good athlete compared to, I mean, she's not a gold medal hopeful. Okay.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to like put all this like investment into someone who's not even really expected to like place.
Well, I think okay.
And so the other thing is Beverly Zhu doesn't speak any Chinese. That was a major point of annoyance with people in China with her, but at least from what I read, was that they don't really consider her, they don't really consider her like really that invested in China because she doesn't speak. And I see that like speaking Chinese is a huge deal to Chinese people. You know what I mean? And you could say that it's all about Eileen Gu's being half white, but she speaks like perfect Chinese. And so I don't know. I mean, I don't think that if you go to China, that they're always looking for like mixed. I mean, I think there is a little bit of there is an interest in that and an exotic fascination with it. But I don't think that there's some like top tier of celebrities that's, you know, they're all mixed race or something like that. I think this is more of an Asian American complex, personally.
Yeah, I would say. I mean,
there is a Chinese fascination with like mixed race people, but like that's their sort of like exotic, that's their sort of like, oh, how exotic, right? But as it's particularly a sensitive thing for Asian Americans, because that make because we live in a white dominated society, and to see Asian people exotify mixed race, particularly mixed or only really only half white Asian people, Chinese people or Korean people or whatever it is, I think it hits the diaspora particularly hard. Whereas from their perspective, the Korean or Chinese or Japanese, well, I don't want to, Japanese are different, but like the Chinese perspective, I can say, I don't think they see it. I don't think they see it as white worship. You know, they don't have this complex because I mean, like every single top star, every single like man in power or, you know, woman in power or, you know, super famous, celebrity or whatever, they're all full Chinese. It's they don't think, they don't worry about that.
It's not like every athlete, like if you look at the sort of Chinese athletes that have been gotten really famous, I don't think the vast majority of them are fully Chinese, right? Like and were born and raised there. I think what this poster is also pointing out is that when Eileen and Beverly because they, you know, Beverly went to China in 2018 and Eileen went in 2019. But at the same time that they went over in their respective sports, they were like the number one junior athlete in the world at that sport.
Wait, so Beverly sure was?
Beverly was had won the junior level ice skating like nationals in the US twice.
Okay.
So then her point is like, why didn't Beverly get the same support from the government as Eileen did? I think that's her point. I don't know whether that is because of the white worship. I don't think so.
What do you mean she didn't get the same support? She got
The post is asserting. I don't know if it's
true. But what? Well, I'm asking. I'm not asking you. I'm asking her. Like the poster. Like, what do you mean she didn't get the support? She got. She got on the Olympic team. She's a Chinese citizen. Like what?
Right.
Did the Chinese government do here that's so standards?
Right, and that seems to go counter to a lot of the complaints, I think, of the other Chinese figure skating athletes who are like, no, she was sort of pushed ahead of us, right?
I don't understand this complaint. Like, poor Beverly Zhu. What do you mean poor Beverly Zhu? She's on the Olympic team. She's skating for China.
Right. And
the Chinese government can't force Victoria's Secret to give her a modeling contract. Right. I don't even know if she wants that anyway. Why is that the Chinese government's fault?
This is really not about the Chinese government or even about these particular women themselves. It's about a greater just gripe about just race and, you know, attractiveness hierarchies projected onto these women. Like, I mean, I really don't know the marketing plans, the original files. Maybe they did say, you know what, we do like the hapa mixes, but you know, there's no. I think it's the more important thing is this is something that the poster has felt all her life, you know, with good reason. There is obviously
she's right, but I just think it's wrong to blame the Chinese government. I think she'd be right to point out that the European fashion houses that are hiring models, they probably really like the fact that Eileen Gu is white passing Hapa because they want to popularize a Eurocentric aesthetic in China because that's their IP. They can't compete with Chinese aesthetics. They don't have any specialty in that. So they've got to push a Western-centric, Eurocentric aesthetic in China that is viable, you know, and they've had problems in the past because Chinese are very sensitive about European companies coming in and acting racist, like Balenciaga did and a few others. And so I think they look at an Eileen Gu and they're like, wow, she's popular and she looks like a white woman and she's, you know, fits our sort of definition of beauty and glamour. Blame them. Blame the fucking European fashion houses. Blame Victoria's Secret. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that they definitely are not that interested in a Chloe Kim or a Beverly Zhu or a Nathan Chen because they're full Asian. You know, so.
Actually, speaking of Nathan Chen, I wonder why. I mean, I think we kind of know why, but you know, he could be used as the counter Eileen Gu. Here's this, you know, good Asian American, raised in America, choose proudly to represent America, top of his field, but you know, it's like, they don't really care for various reasons. Probably has to do with, I think him being a guy probably doesn't help. And
he's an Asian guy. He's a full Asian guy. There's just a low ceiling for that.
Yeah. Period. Yeah. It's like,
I mean, everyone knows this.
Yeah. Either
he's a
way.
Figure skater.
Yeah. Okay. Cause it's, as I said earlier in this episode, the reason why Eileen Gu's, why she matters so much is that she has like the world at her feet. You know, she has every option available to her. Whereas with, even if you're like a Nathan Chen and you are the top male figure skater, I don't know how he is historically. Maybe he might even has a chance to be one of the, like the greatest of all time. In the end, you're still an Asian dude. Like, where else are you going to go but America? That kind of thing. Or even if you went to China, it might even be like, well, of course you're an Asian dude. You couldn't hack it in America. Of course you go crawling back to your ancestral homeland where they have lower standards and stuff like that.
Oh, there was a good response to this, I thought.
Oh, yeah, sure. You mean this post?
Yeah, to this post.
All right, read it.
This person wrote that there are three fully white American men on China's national hockey team. Why don't they attack that? I'm more interested in the presentation optics here. The fact that, oh, yeah, just doesn't like the Boba. The Boba's and white racists are against her tells me everything I need to know about her and gives me every reason to support her. This idea that she's being promoted only because she's white is just not true. The national hockey team of China has full white people on it. There are other white people competing for the Chinese team in the Winter Olympics. It's not because she's white. It's because she's a good athlete.
Well, I think there's a little bit of a mistake there because there is a difference, I think, between fully white and Hapa. Because Hapa becomes like this contested identity. Whereas white, it's kind of just white. You know, I think
then I
with
guess,
Hapa, there's like a contested identity within a single person.
Right. So I think then the white worship is more complex than just calling it white worship.
Yeah, I don't really like that term white worship.
I don't like
you know?
That.
I don't really think that's what it is. It is this weird belief, as Chris, I think, was pointing out, that, you know, you can improve both the white and the Asian by mixing it together.
And, you know, like, there are Asian, like, Asians who, you know, want to have half-white children, and they'll try to justify saying, I'm, like, colonizing the colonizer. But the only way that really is becomes true is if their children then choose Asianness, whether in all aspects, whether it's like culturally, romantically, socially, all that. If they choose Asian, then yeah, you are basically like taking a white person and consuming them into Asianness so that down the line, they just become this like insignificant white ancestor in your family tree. Like we're getting kind of like race science here, but you know, that is like just biological fact. So, but I think the reason why a lot of white people like you know, interracial relationships with like Asian people is that the assumption is the children will gravitate towards whiteness and the Asian will become that one weird ancestor in the family tree. And okay, maybe the Hapa guys, because they'll still be kind of Asian and therefore lesser than white men. So they'll like, you know, play their Hapa advantage card in Asian social circles. But the Hapa girls, which are the real prize in this, all this, will definitely choose their whiteness. And once they start choosing Asianness, you've lost the war. That's the fear.
Yeah. I think that sounds about right.
Yeah. And also I think there's this thing where I think you've got this kind of like racist white guy and you're like obsessed with this like domination politics kind of thing. It's like, okay, you can like take Asian women from Asian men, but the fact is you will never take all of them. Like the numbers just are not in your favor. There will always be way more Asian dudes with Asian women. And in the end, you are just kind of, you're kind of doing what they've been doing all their lives and will continue to do. So you're not really taking that much from them. And yeah, maybe Asian guys don't have a lot of like white women, but you know, white women are supposed to belong to you. And not only that, but you also have these resentments against white women and you want to like cut them down to size a bit. So you got to bring in this like new race of women. Well then Hapa, they don't, they're like new. They don't really belong to anyone. That is why what they choose is such a, like a bellwether for basically where the world is heading. Because there is no history of them. They don't belong to anyone. You know, the way that certain races, you know, are situated close to each other and for, you know, thousands of years have you know, socialize and everything. No, Hoppers are like new. Nobody knows what their history is going to be.
This is why Asian American people are, we kind of live in a fucked up situation, because like, for the most part, let's just take like, yeah, take Asia as a whole. Like, for the most part, I mean, when you go to Asia, we go to China, like a lot of the stuff that we think of as like Asian issues are not issues, because they're Asian American issues. They're like specifically to Asian diaspora. And the concerns that you have as an Asian person are very unique to being an Asian person living in the West. And you go to China and like all this stuff is irrelevant to them, totally irrelevant. And most of America to them, this Asian thing is totally irrelevant either. They don't really see Asian people day to day or really think about Asian people. Asian Americans live in this sort of like intersection where these two giant you know, like civilizations or whatever have this sort of are sort of meeting and mixing up, and it's pretty fucked up. It's a fucked up situation, because it's like, if you look at the history of it, it's pretty bad. This, like, when white people and Asian people mix or interact in some way, it's usually not a good thing. It's usually like has to do with some kind of war, you know.
Well, that's the 20th century. It's the interaction of Asian and white has been often war.
Yeah,
and like the most catastrophic wars of the century, except for like intra-white, like intra-European wars.
You know? Or it's like, you know, just like just horrendous racism at Asian people who move to America. Or it's just like this filthy, gross, like, you know, like white expat culture that, you know, finds itself in places like Hong Kong or Thailand or whatever. And it's just gross. Like the majority of like the where Asian Americans our heads are at is unfortunately like in this very, very like contentious, historically ugly intersection between the white part of the world and the Asian part of the world. It's just how it is. And I think that's why Asian Americans like these days have been very like intensely fixated on the notion of white domination and Asian subjugation and all that stuff. Whereas if you go to China, it's not really, you know, I don't think Chinese people like really detest white people as much as some Asian Americans do, or worship them the way some white people Asian Americans do. It's like, it's very hard for us to comprehend the actual Chinese attitude towards white people. I think for the most part, I get the feeling like Chinese people right now are just annoyed with Americans and a little bit annoyed with white people. But for the most part, they don't think about it that much. And I think that's unthinkable for Asian Americans to be like, what do you mean you don't think about it that much? That's all I think about.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, so,
have you read our literature?
Yeah, exactly.
No, they haven't. They probably haven't, because
and I think that's the one thing
not
that
relevant
really
to them.
That's the one thing that really separates the Asian diaspora, Asian American, from the authentic Asian, is our preoccupation with our place in the West, or our relationship with the West, or our position via vis-a-vis white people or whatever. Like, it's just, I'm not exempt from that, right?
And none of us are. Yeah.
I don't think any of us are.
Yeah.
But it is a thing that I think keeps us from fully understanding what it is like to be a quote true Asian. Is that they live in their Asian world, and they don't, this stuff doesn't, it just doesn't register as all that important, you know, day to day. So,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, finish your thought. I was going to move to.
No, I think Eileen Gu is just an interesting thing, because it's one that like kind of blew open, an Asian American, a preoccupation that Asian Americans have, onto a global stage. Mm-hmm. You know, I think, yeah. And with Eileen Gu, I think you can see like the mainstream sort of trying to grapple with issues that Asian Americans do in places like Reddit. It's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. I just want to propose like a hypothetical scenario. Like, imagine if it were the other way around. Let's say Eileen Gu was an Asian national. Let's keep our hapa. And then she chose to represent America. And you got a lot of, you got like the Chinese Tucker Carlson, the Chinese Will Kane, the Chinese like dudes on Weibo attacking her the way that a lot of these Americans have been attacking her. Could you just imagine the bullshit articles we'd have to read, and the glaring silence among a lot of people in the type of attack. We've seen some kind of half-hearted defenses of her, even from, you know,
Jen Fang had a half-hearted one, right?
Yeah, even those types, I think, is a bit too far from them. But, I mean, if it were the other way around, like, it would be 100 times worse. It would be, you know, the toxic Asian patriarchy, you know, strikes again. And, of course, a beautiful Hapo girl like her would strive so hard to escape the clutches of their, the societies that do not deserve her talents and beauty. That kind of mentality should be insufferable.
The closest thing I can think of is, do you remember Oksana Baiul? She was a Ukrainian skater. She won gold. And she skated, she didn't skate for the US, but after she won gold, like, Americans were so enamored with her that she got all these like endorsement deals, and then she moved to America.
Yeah, and she became like that? A pro skater, and yeah.
Yeah. And wait, then was she like
anti-Putin or something?
This is 94, so yeah.
Okay, never mind.
Putin wasn't even on the scene.
But she wasn't political at all.
And so she moved to the United States, and it was this big deal. They were like, oh my God, she, like, you know, lifted herself out of, you know, this post-Soviet poverty in the Ukraine, and she, you know, got onto the world stage, I think in France, won the gold, beat, I think, Nancy Kerrigan. You know, and then lived her dream. Her dream was to, like, come to the United States, and she came to the United States. And then I think she got a DUI, and she hurt, like, everything just fell apart when she just became like a total degenerate when she moved to the United States.
So funny, like you do.
She burned out real quick here.
Yeah,
that was the real story. The real story would be they come to the United States and they just become a Los Angeles degenerate.
Well, that's what it was at Lillehammer. So that's what I thought it was. Lillehammer, those Olympics. 94. Who'd she beat?
Nancy Kerrigan.
Well, while you're looking that up. Yeah, they wanted, like, they would, like, imagine, what's her name? The North Korean liar. What's her name?
Oh my God, she was my neighbor. She lived in Cliffside Park.
Oh, really?
Anyway.
You mean Yummy Park?
Yeah. It would have been like that situation, except way bigger, because it would be on the like a real celebrity / athlete stage. That it would have been like that, and the fucking think pieces that come out of NBC Asian America or that kind of shit, it would just be terrible.
Yeah.
I think a lot of those people, I think they're like, I'm sure they're in their slacks right now, thinking, okay, we don't like this. I think in their gut, they don't like this idea of any Asian person having to choose between, like, America and their ancestral homeland. But on the other hand, you've got people like us, you've got the, you know, the other, like, tankies, or you got, like, Asian Identity being way too pro Eileen Gu. Like, we can't follow them. We gotta come up with our own unique selling position on this. And I'm sure they're, like, trying to think of one right now. I think that's why they can't just explicitly come in defense of her and all the racist, sexist stuff.
I think leaving aside the psychosexual aspects of it, which I think are true, but I think kind of niche. You know, I think the thing that really bothers some people about her, not everyone, I think most Americans don't give a shit. I think the vast majority of people just probably don't give a shit about this at all. But for the media types that are, you know, that are obsessed, I can just imagine what, like, a Matt Iglesias thinks about this, right? Like, the scary thing about Eileen Gu is she represents the future.
Yeah.
She is an indicator of where things are headed, that the center of cultural mass and relevance is moving away from us. And mm-hmm. not gone. It's not gone. I mean, it's not like we're just like a backwater now, but it is definitely moving towards Asia. You know, I don't think it's just about China. I think it's about Asia as a whole, like,
right,
is becoming more and more the center of the universe.
Yeah. And, speaking of Matt Iglesias, 1 billion Americans, if a good chunk of those 1 billion Americans are part Asian and they choose Asian in any kind of conflict with America, well, that's you failed, you know. Mm-hmm. That's not 1 billion. It's more like 700 million America.
And I think another indication of this sort of history is now sort of bending away from the United States is evident in the opening ceremony that you described, Teen, in that like China's gone from sort of this nationalistic display in 2008 to a more universalist,
right?
You know, worldly, you know, non-nationalistic display in 2022. But for the U.S. and the I think for the U.S. people or for Americans, they feel that that was sort of their, like that universalist, like worldly perspective was ours. But now you see that I think our sports spectacle has turned much more nationalistic.
Oh yeah,
like we were much more like the Imagine thing in the 80s and 90s, but now we're like every display at sports has to be rah rah USA.
Yeah,
And I think that, I mean, it just that's very clear. I mean, and you know, it's a show of weakness in my mind that
it
we're
is.
So.
And can I say rah, the rah, U.S. athletes were doing this like at the opening ceremony? For the most part, I didn't think I thought it was cool, and I always liked the athletes, but they were doing the USA chant, and I just can we just fucking retire that? Like, can we just all agree to just stop as a country stop chanting USA? It
please,
sounds
yeah.
it sounds like a bunch of frat bros cheering on a date rape. It's horrible. I fucking hate it when people chant USA.
But that's American sports fans, though.
There's just something awful about the way that gets chanted. We need to stop doing that.
Chris, you and I are soccer fans, and I know that obviously you don't root for the U.S. team because you're not from the U.S. But I just cannot stand our U.S. soccer fans, like our national team fans. Like, it's the worst.
Probably the worst chance, right?
The worst chance. I mean, I might like them better if we just had good chance, but we don't have any good chance.
Speaking of the athletes, did you see that? I don't know if it was an article, but they were saying that, I think it was the New York Times actually, they said China was basically being anti-trans because they had just like binary colors for men and women, but the U.S. yeah. was doing the exact same thing.
The U.S. did the same.
Nobody cares about that, okay?
The just U.S. did the same thing though.
Yes, everyone did that. Jesus Christ. Oh my God.
But it was, I guess it was not just the colors. It was the actual uniform is different. Like the U.S., I guess, just has different colors, but the same actual jacket or something.
Just
I don't know.
Up.
Who cares?
It's like everyone's little pet issue gets aired out. And it's just like, I don't know. And the whole thing just strikes me as just like, just the U.S. just feels, the American media just feels incredibly like.
Insecure
and just lacking in grace.
Yeah,
like
they
just don't have the capacity to show grace and, you know, like any sense of, you know, I don't even know what the word is, magnanimity or something, like just some sort of like
humility,
a larger spirit.
Yeah.
You know, something they can't like a higher register. It's just like, can they hit like a higher register for the purposes of this one day? Where you're supposed, the world's supposed to come together and celebrate
one event,
this one event, you know, and like everyone stands not for a national anthem or anything. It's not the Chinese national anthem. It's the Olympic anthem sung in French. Right. That's, you know, and everyone stands up for that. And we can't act like decent guests, you know, we just like, usually like, and it's not just China, like Russia, like when the Russian delegation came out, you know, like the athletes,
the ROC.
Were like, yeah, like the one that came before, it was like Poland. They're like, Poland, known for luge. And there's the legendary skeleton athlete. And Poland's got a great team. Oh, and here comes ROC, banned because they're cheaters.
right.
And their warlord, you know, Putin is in the stands. Funny thing, Putin and Xi Jinping view America as their mortal enemy.
And you wonder why.
wonder why.
And you're like... Can you say maybe one athlete's name?
Right.
You know, could you maybe say like the woman's figure skater, like by far, like the favored one?
She is.
Russia? She's amazing.
I rewatched her because she did the, I think the free skate for the ROC team competition.
Yeah. She's
or something.
Awesome.
She is ephemeral. I mean, she's just
she's
amazing. I mean,
could they maybe have like named her rather than like, right. Oh, here's Putin. He is gonna all the world watching to see if Putin's gonna and what he's gonna do next.
Is he gonna invade Ukraine? Yeah.
Like, shut
could you imagine
up.
What Oksana Baiul is thinking now?
Actually, Adam, you brought up the U.S. men's soccer team. Unfortunately, they will almost certainly qualify for the next World Cup. But it's gonna be very interesting to contrast the coverage of this to the Qatar World Cup, which will be in the fall/winter of this year. And I'm sure there'll be the obligatory, you know, guys, we should be mindful of the, I think they're all like South Asian or Filipino workers, a lot of them who've died trying to bring this to happen, not to mention whatever like blood money is involved in all this. But, you know, it'll just be a party, and there'll be, you know, can the U.S. finally win their first World Cup? You know, that kind of bullshit.
No, we will not. No, I can already. But, you know, we talk about the athletes, right? And I think, you know, in contrast to the media who just are, I don't know why they're even there. We could have a great Olympics without any of the writing about it. But I think the athletes themselves are displaying great sportsmanship. There was a story about curling, and I guess the mixed doubles team for the U.S. beat the Chinese team, and the Chinese team, you know, they had gifts, and they gave the gifts to the U.S. team, and the U.S. team was very humble and, you know, accepted the gifts graciously. And I think if you look at what the athletes do, generally they're very, you know, they're very cordial with one another. It's a friendly competition.
Even the sports commentators, like the ones that actually are expert in the sport, like they're generally pretty good. I found that like even on the NBC broadcast, like, you know, they tend to be generous to every athlete, regardless of where they're from, and they know a lot about every athlete. And you don't, I think it was actually worse in the past, but like I think they've tried to be like more overall positive and fair in how they talk about each athlete. And so the actual sports commentators are pretty good. It's just it's the studio commentators that, you know, that bring in that try to bring in like news and current events into it that, you know, like and all these like fucking, I hate to say it, but all these house chink reporters, like they don't know anything. They don't know anything about sports. They don't know anything about the Olympics. Why are they there? What are you there for? Right. You're there to trash China. That's what you're there for. Right? Like you send over reporters specifically to trash the host country. I mean, you might as well be, who was that American swimmer that like was trash, you know, like
Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, just a bunch of Ryan Lochtes.
You know? What a fucking tool that guy
is. Might as well just go to China and start a bar fight or something, you know? I mean, fuck.
What a fucking tool Ryan Lochte is.
Yeah. So anyway, it just reminds me, like, Adam, what you were saying, like, totally true. Like Summer Olympics in Tokyo, when the Chinese gymnasts won, I think it was an individual medal or something like that. And you know, they the U.S. team, Sunisa and who's the shit?
Simone
the
really Biles.
Famous one. Simone Biles. Yeah, they went over to the Chinese side and they were hugging and taking pictures together, and they genuinely seemed to like be excited to meet each other. And
yeah, and
fuck the State Department. Right. Send the gymnasts over.
Right, and they all compete against each other all the time. They know each other, right? Like they almost grow up together in some ways.
And they go through the same
ways.
They understand that they go through the same hell
training
together.
The same pressures. Yeah. You know, and I was watching the figure skating, and I think the best commentary is probably going to be figure skating because the Tara Lipinski and Adam Ripon are just amazing. But like the Japanese skater came on for the team competition to do the free skate, and he just had a horrible, or maybe it was a Chinese skater. He had a horrible routine. And Adam Ripon was just sort of like, you know, I feel so badly for him. I know he trained so hard. I competed against him for years, and he's a, you know, great guy, and he, you know, he's more talented than he's showing, and you know, he was just so, he wasn't there to like dunk on him.
He didn't do the like, this is the result of the authoritarian model.
The robotic Chinese, they can't get into the artistry of figure skating or some bullshit like that. Like he was like, he felt bad for someone he knew, you know. And he had to critique the skating or whatever, but I don't know. It was just refreshing because you're like, the Olympics are a different sporting event, or they should be, than just sort of any sort of sports competition. Yes, everyone wants to win, but ostensibly the Olympics are about uniting the world. And you know, I think the athletes do that more if you just gonna pay attention to them than any of the stupidity around it from the American press for the most part.
Yeah. To bring it back to Eileen Gu, if there's all this hoopla about her when she was an athlete, could you imagine how Americans would react if she like started dating some like Chinese pop star? That would be like they would be like, oh god, the Asian century truly has started.
They'll probably like just like cancel her citizenship.
Yeah, I think there's a point where like the Chinese military will exceed the American military through some, I don't know, they have like a player efficiency ranking type of analytics, I think, for military strength. Or I think there's maybe when like China's China's economy is already bigger than the US, right? Or I'm not sure.
It is in real terms.
But maybe their purchasing power parity or whatever exceeds whatever.
Not per capita, but yeah.
Yeah, but there's like a certain point which will definitely just crush the American ego when China surpasses. I think Eileen Gu, if she dates some like Chinese national dude, is going to surpass all that. any last thoughts with this episode?
I think her first event is tomorrow, and I'm actually very kind of excited to watch her do her thing because there's so much hype, and I like watching people perform when there's hype because that's like extra pressure.
Yeah,
I love watching athletes perform under pressure. That's what makes it so exciting.
Problem with these like tricks events is I can't unless they fall, I can't tell like if it's good or not. It's you're just waiting for the score, right, to come.
You just measure it by like the commentator, like usually with these types, the guys like, oh man, yeah. 1080, woohoo! It's basically just like how excited that dude gets.
Mm-hmm. Right,
gives you a pretty good indication of how they did.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
Oh man, woohoo!
Yeah.
So just go for that.
Oh man.
All right. If there are no further comments, I think we can close this one out. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us for this episode. We'll have our bonus coming out in a few days. And you know the schedule if you're a regular listener. If you're new, thank you for listening to us. And we hope you'll continue. Until then, bye everyone.
Bye.